Subway has teamed up with Live Nation to bring you great food and great music for a great value. Right now, buy a Subway $5 footlong and get a Live Nation concert ticket for $5 to participating Live Nation shows like Nickelback, The Fray, and Crew Fest 2. Ticket price does not include fees. See store for details. Subway. Eat fresh.
Eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
Johnny.
What's up, Willie?
Happy All-Star Week.
Thanks, buddy.
Where do you plan on watching the Home Run Derby tonight?
Well, every year we get together, a bunch of buddies of mine and I, and we just watch that thing from beginning to end because it just gets so fantastic.
It's so good. It's so different every year.
Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting now. This is really the first one. I'm not totally counting last year. The first one where we can say, all right, no roids in this one.
Oh, I don't know that we can say that.
We can't. I was giving baseball the benefit of the doubt. You don't want to make that leap?
It would be nice to say that, but, I mean, come on. I wasn't born yesterday. Let's get serious here.
They showed on Saturday morning, they showed the 1999 Home Run Derby.
Oof.
Which,
that was the one at Fenway, right?
Oh, my God.
Mm.
It is the McGuire thing. First of all, everyone is so on board with the steroid use at that point in time. Maybe we couldn't fully grasp it.
Right.
But McGuire shows up, like his muscles are almost like exploding out of his body. He's hitting 700-foot home runs. Oh, Berman's going crazy. Fans are going bonkers.
Like a T-stop or something, right? And he put it like across the street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was there. I was in the bleachers, and at the time, we thought the balls were juiced. We're like, wow, they really jacked these up. They juiced these balls.
Something was jacked up, but it wasn't the balls, yeah.
The best part was they kept cutting to Sosa, whose cranium was actually growing as he was watching it. They cut back, and his forehead was bigger.
He had to go get a bigger hat from his first round to the second round.
Oh, it was good. It was really funny to watch. They've been showing a lot of the home run derbies, and they've been showing old all-star games. I actually TiVo'd a couple. I haven't watched it, but they had like Major League Baseball Network, which good job by them.
Yeah.
1971, 1975, 1981, 1978, 1986. Like they've been basically having a marathon.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's fun to see like the uniforms of when we grew up and
oh, yeah.
The days of when everybody only got one all-star unless they were a really good team.
Yeah.
The Astrodome.
And guys really, like, there was a big, you know, if you were in the AL, you were, like, an AL player, and you were in the NL, there wasn't a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
There was some bad blood for some reason. Wasn't there bad blood back in the day between the two leagues?
Yeah.
The guys really played hard in the All-Star game, like, Pete Rose breaking Fosse's leg.
Yeah,
that whole thing. I mean, it was really, and plus the money back then, if you know, it probably meant something to those guys.
Yeah, I think the National League had like a superiority complex dating back to like pre-World War I. The
right.
American League was like the little upstart that came in, and National League, we played better and all that crap.
Right, the AL was like the JV. And the
now
National League won a ridiculous amount in the 70s and 80s, I think. Didn't they win every year in the All-Star game, basically?
Yeah, there was a stretch when they
won like 10 in a row or something, I think.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
And we started to think, yeah, you guys might be right. You might be better.
Right, exactly.
And then steroids, even the odds, Johnny.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it did.
And HGH and lots of money in the American League.
Absolutely.
We showed the NL who's boss.
That's right.
They'll come into our house.
That's right. We'll show you.
I was kind of strangely captivated by I'm going to say it was like 1978, but just how fast it moved.
Mm.
And every time they show those old games on MLB Network, you think like, yeah, baseball. A lot more fun when these games are 2.5 hours long and then you get to not watch anymore because the game's over.
Yeah, it wasn't like the interminable 4-hour marathon
no.
with the Yankees, Red Sox in the playoffs with 85 pitching changes and, you know, all kinds of walks and runs and base runners. Yeah, definitely.
Let me tell you something. I don't think we can narrow that down in the playoffs anymore, Johnny.
True. You know, you're right. Their regular season games go like that, too. You're right.
These Red Sox games, they start at 4 in the
West Coast.
Yeah, they start at 4 on the West Coast, and like at 7:30, they're still going on sometimes.
Yeah, they that's true. The Yankees games are the same way.
That's why I love Tim Wakefield.
Right. His game
is 2 hours, 10 minutes for Tim Wakefield.
Well, you know what we learned in interleague play is that National League baseball is just, it's much better. The pitcher hitting and double switches and having to actually manage games.
Yeah.
It's a much better game. There's a reason they invented it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just much better. Now, people will email in and say, oh, you know, I don't want to watch a pitcher who hits 111 get up there and kill a rally, but it makes for strategy and it really makes the games more interesting and they move along more quickly. Plus, you have the instant factor of, you know, a pitcher throws at somebody, he's going to get thrown at himself.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's a much, much, much better game. I understand they're never going to get rid of the DH because I think it's the highest paid player in baseball on average. So the union is never, ever going to allow that to go away. But it's really a superior game of baseball, I think, personally.
And the other part that's fun is the few pitchers that can hit. And like, it's such a waste that Josh Beckett is in the American League. This guy would be hitting like 270 in the National League.
Sabathia, too, and Dontrelle Willis, all those guys in the American League, and they can all hit.
Yeah, those guys, it like increases their value.
And it just adds so much to a game when you're watching and it's like the pitcher's up and it should be an automatic out. And then if he, God forbid, hits a home run, the other team is just so demoralized.
Well, look at the Rivera walk. That was one of the most memorable moments of the year so far.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah, that's a good point.
The Mets fans are like, really? Really?
Walking pitcher that doesn't even know which end of the bat to hold, basically. Yeah.
He's like, what, the smaller handle is the one with around my hands, right?
Yeah. I know. That was K-Rod's lowest moment ever, probably.
Yeah. You know what they should do? I'm starting to wonder if maybe we should just have America vote on stuff like American Idol.
That's a good idea.
Like
the
some of these
things.
Baseball doesn't really need to do this, but like, for instance, the NHL, not a bad idea for them to maybe open some things up to a vote.
And
do the American Idol lines, and I don't know, I'd feel more invested. It would be great if we could vote on the DH, though.
How great
would that be?
That would be fantastic.
I think, like, the old-school baseball writers, that would be it. They would, like, and you'd have to revive them with smelling salts. If the new commissioner after Bud Selig, if you made that a rule. Yeah, I'm going to have America vote on some stuff. It's like, oh, no!
Feel right over.
Yeah. But I think that would be cool, though. I'd love to vote on stuff.
And the dumbest thing ever, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts, but it remains the dumbest thing ever, is that you have a professional sport where there's two different rules, different rules in the two different leagues.
Yeah.
And it comes into play in your championship series, depending on which stadium you're playing in. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's inane. And then this exhibition game decides who gets that advantage in
that's
the World Series.
Too. That's just so stupid. Can't you see on who has the best record? I mean, especially now when there's interleague play and at least they've played some of the same teams. Shouldn't it be based on the overall best record?
Yeah, that's a good idea. So whoever wins the interleague record gets the World Series advantage.
Yeah, I mean, if right now, let's say like the Dodgers have the best record in the National League and I forget off the top of my head who has the best record in the American League, but let's say that they were to meet in the World Series. The Dodgers have the best overall record. They should host the World. They should have 4-3 if they got there.
I don't know, but wait, what if they're playing in a vastly inferior league? That's not fair.
But you get to. That's my point. You get to play some of the same teams because the American League teams are at least playing some of the National League teams as well. Not as many and not as frequently. I understand. So the Dodgers could pad their record, but still, it's against some of the same competition.
You don't think it would be more fun to have interleague record decide it, and then on like the last day of interleague play, like the AL would be up by 3 games?
Oh, the overall interleague play.
Yeah, the overall interleague. Yeah, game. Yeah, overall.
Yeah, that makes as much sense as having the All-Star game. I guess it makes more because actually, you know, those teams really, the players are really trying hard. It really matters.
It'd be funny if like the AL was up by 1 going into the final Sunday, and it came down to like some Pittsburgh Kansas City game or something.
Yeah.
Deciding what.
It's kind of random.
What do you think? I had a reader had an idea about 7 years ago that the winner of the All-Star game would get immunity from steroid testing for a year. And the losers would get tested.
Get
tested right after the game.
They would really play for that. That would be interesting.
We would see the Rose-Fosse collision about 7 times.
Yeah, definitely. Players would be into it.
People throwing it at guys and stuff.
Absolutely. That would really liven things up.
Hey, how
it counts. It would really count.
How excited are you for Roy Halladay to get traded out of the American League?
I'm excited, although a part of me in the faint flickers of my mind where I wake up in a cold sweat worrying that he's going to go to the Red Sox.
Oh, that would, I
because the way
Doc.
Things have gone of late in the last 5 years, like it, would it shock me for if Halliday went to the Red Sox for Manny Del Carmen and three single A players and Julio Lugo? No, it wouldn't. It would not shock me at all.
Oh, hey, the general manager of the Blue Jays is from Massachusetts.
That's what worries me too. He's Worcester's own JP Ricciardi.
This is probably why I can't be a general manager, Johnny.
I know, because for another team, you mean?
Well,
other than like the Celtics or the Red Sox or the Patriots.
I'm saying if we were ever, like, let's say I got that Timberwolves job and we were rebuilding, I would absolutely do the KG trade.
Of course you would.
Here you go. Here's KG. We'll take back Al Jefferson at number one. Good to go.
He would be like Chris Wallace, but only when it came to the trading with the Celtics.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd actually like to try to be like...
The non-Fox News Chris Wallace. I think we have to add that contractually, don't we?
Or the non-notorious big B.I.G.
The non-notorious B.I.G. Chris Wallace.
I'd forgotten a couple years ago that the Chris Wallace from Fox News emailed me to.
That's right.
Please stop getting me or
talking about how
like,
inept Chris Wallace is, or at least specify which one. Yeah.
Yeah, in print.
Right.
He didn't like that. He wanted it to be. I thought that was funny.
On the off chance that he listens to the podcast, I wanted to throw him a bone there. So.
And a testament to Memphis Chris Wallace's incompetence that other celebrities named Chris Wallace were emailing and asking not to be confused with him.
Yeah, so that is my – back to J.P. Ricciardi, that is my biggest concern because, you know, he grew up in the mean streets of Worcester wearing full Red Sox regalia, you know, Yaz jersey and a Red Sox hat. How could he not be tempted now that his team is out of it to help out the Red Sox where his heart undoubtedly belongs?
You don't have a lot to trade either. I think that – I don't know if the Rangers would want to get involved, and I sincerely doubt how they would want to pitch there.
No, I wouldn't think so. Speaking of it being 150 in July, you know,
yeah.
Want to go pitch down in Arlington, Texas?
Not really a pitcher city, but
no.
I think Texas and Boston are the two teams that in the American League could really put together the Godfather package for them.
Yeah, but
I think
the
guys
have
a stud.
An amazing amount of, you know, prospects that are allegedly coveted, so... Yeah, that makes me very, very nervous. I'll be very happy if he goes to the Phillies, like not because I care about the Phillies, but just because it won't be the Red Sox and it won't be the American League.
If I was the Doc, I'd want to go to Philly because you're getting that stat jump going from the AL to the NL.
Mm.
It's like downgrading in a video game. You're downgrading a level.
Oh, definitely. He'll win 30 games there next year, potentially, throwing to pitchers.
That'd be amazing if he went 32-2 on the Phillies.
Playing. I know.
Guy's a stud. I do think if the Red Sox got him, even though we do have some other holes, but if we could try to out Beckett, Lester, Halliday as our top three.
Yeah, don't even talk about it.
That's pretty good.
Cry. I'm going to start sobbing.
And the Doc is a stud, too. He'll throw
the
250, 260 every year.
Now, he's the guy who's a real innings eater, but he's an innings eater in their good innings. It's not just like you're throwing a pitching machine out there to eat innings. He's good.
He's an innings eater as in complete game, one run, 9 Ks.
Yeah. Yeah,
you like those kind of inning eaters.
He's great. The thing is, he's 32, so you know, but it would pretty much assure you guys the World Series.
He reminds me of Jack Morris for some reason.
Yeah,
even though statistically, statistically they're not totally comparable, but I think from an inning standpoint they are. And the fact that when you go against him, and it always seems like he's so fired up to go against the Red Sox or the Yankees, like he loves that like big game, and he's just kind of a warrior. It seems like his teammates love him.
Yeah,
kind of guy you want to play with.
I was hoping that maybe he would talk to – he wanted to go pitch with his buddy A.J. Burnett again on the Yanks. Maybe that would sway some things. Put in a word. He could turn some things down. I'd like to get reunited with A.J. They're buddies supposedly. So.
Well, you know what works against you is your park.
Yeah, because they'd give up more home runs.
Yeah, although it hasn't been bothering A.J. lately. A.J.'s been on fire.
Knock on wood. Yeah, he's the only one.
Oh, did I jinx that? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've noticed that he's been really good for about 6 weeks.
Mm.
Like really, really, really
yeah,
excellent.
He's still up and down. Roller coaster ride.
No, not really for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, pretty roller coaster still. Can't beat the Red Sox. Can't beat
Nah, he's been really good.
Couldn't hold a 6-0 lead. Lost to him the second time out.
Lights out. Sure thing. Best he's ever been, I think.
No, not so much.
Breakout year.
We agree to disagree.
Breakout year.
No, not even close. Last year, maybe. Not this year. Contract year last year, not this year.
I have a topic for you. When did the Yankee fans lose their sense of humor?
How so?
Well, in my mailbag, I put something in. Somebody asked a question about would I be interested if the Red Sox wanted Jeter, and I said, absolutely. We'd love a washed-up shortstop.
Yeah.
No range. We could platoon him with Nick Green. The Yankee fans were very upset about this. And,
were they?
And said that I didn't realize that Jeter was having a really good year this year, and I have no credibility for writing something like that. It's like, I follow baseball. I know Derek Jeter's having a good year. It was a joke.
They have to understand, one, that you were being – funny, and two, that you're a diehard Red Sox fan. So what do they expect, you to take an objective look at Derek Jeter?
I think both of those points are pretty clear in everything I write. For about nine, I've had a nine-year resume now of not objective Red Sox fan.
It's like emailing in, you know, if you were some kind of Democrat and you emailed into Rush Limbaugh and be like, I disagree with your sentiments about Obama's cabinet. You know, like people come at this from a viewpoint, you know, I mean, get real.
Well, and also, Jeter's been really good this year. And in fact, you know what I think sparked them was our podcast conversation about 8 weeks ago.
When you compared him to the aging. And I just as I apparently inspired David Ortiz,
yes,
you inspired Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Amazing the power we can have on these things.
I think Jeter was on the plane. I was in the team charter listening. So I'm going to show that Simmons.
That's right.
No sex for me for 8 weeks. I'm going to hit the hell out of the ball again.
That's right. Something spurred him on, turned him around. Yeah, he's having a really good year.
Mickey Kelly, put that teddy bear negligee away.
Not tonight.
I want to hit 320 again.
I'm going to show the sports guy a thing or two.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's been really good for them.
Who else have you enjoyed in the Yanks this year?
Anyone? Johnny Damon has been, not defensively, but offensively, he's been really good. Underrated offensively.
Little contract year by him.
Yeah, definitely. He'll go someplace next year. He'll get a contract to go play somewhere. Not New York, mind you, but he'll go someplace. I think it's going to be thanks for the memories for Johnny, but good luck in future projects.
I can tell you who I have been enjoying lately as a Red Sox fan.
Who's that?
The bullpen's left a little bit desired.
Our
vaunted
bullpen ever.
Yeah.
Little cracks in the armor. I know. I've enjoyed seeing that.
I talked to my dad this weekend, and out of nowhere, just randomly at one point, he goes, "That Manny Del Carmen, that's it. I don't ever want to see him again. Enough chances. Get him out of here." It's like just kind of flipped out.
For years now, like 5 years, Manny Del Carmen is going to be like the next big thing in the bullpen. And, you know, he's adequate, but nothing great.
Yeah, I don't remember if we've talked about this before, but or maybe I talked about it with Keith Law, but that whole – yeah, I did. That's what it was, Keith Law. We were talking about the whole – people think if he gets out of Boston, it'll be better for him, and which sounds fine, and yeah, maybe. But if you're another team and this guy can't really succeed like he should with a huge spotlight on him, is that somebody you trust in October?
No.
when there's a national TV spotlight on him? That's the part I never get with that stuff.
He's a hometown guy, right? Isn't he from up there? He's from Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not going to do it for the team that he probably grew up rooting for in front of your friends and family and really, like, muscle up and do it for them, like, who are you going to do it for?
I know. Nobody's ever been able to explain what the distractions are. And I guess it's more of a social thing. Like, Andre Miller's from here, and when he got traded to the Clippers, he had a really bad year, and he was really unhappy. And part of it had to do with the fact that it's the Clippers. But
yeah,
another part was that he was close to his friends and his family and people asking for tickets and will you fund this barbershop and all this crap. And and then when he doesn't want to do something, you get the, oh, look at you, you're big time now. And I guess he just, as the story goes, he just kind of succumbed from all this weight of all these different people kind of picking at him.
I guess I can understand that, but I mean, it could work the opposite direction too. Like, if you're around friends and family, wouldn't you be happier?
Yeah.
You know, you get to hang out with people you know. You're not in some strange city, like sitting in your hotel room all night watching pay-per-view and trying to find which bar to go to. Like,
you
look at, you know, this is a bad story, but the Josh Hamilton thing.
Yeah.
You know, the guy was like, I think he was like a born-again Christian, and he was, you know, in the minors, and he started hanging out at some tattoo shop, and next thing, he's like freebasing cocaine on a regular basis, covered in tattoos, because
yeah,
he was away from, like, you know, the comforts of home and things he was used to and knew about. Now, you know, thank goodness he's turned his life around, but it could work the other way too. He
that
would
was
play
like,
much better in some born again Christian town or whatever. So
that was like me the first year I moved to LA.
I thought you were going to say Holy Cross.
Oh no! When I was when I moved to LA and I got into freebasing and now I'm covered in tattoos.
Exactly. It's a crazy place, Hollywood.
I see, if I were an athlete, I would much rather play at home. It's like a no-brainer. I would think, like, how could you not get fired? Like, I'm a Red Sox fan, obviously. How could I not get fired up to run in from the Fenway Park bullpen each time? I feel like I would add 5 miles an hour to my fastball.
Absolutely. They'd have some Boston song, you know, like Dirty Water, or Ship It Up to Boston, like Papelbon for you, and you'd be all over it.
Yeah. I'd probably come out to Lunatic Fringe.
All right.
Hey, which... I was so delighted. I got UFC 100 over the weekend, and one of the wrestlers came out to Lunatic Fringe. You remember that song from Vision Quest?
Yes.
And let me tell you something. I mean, you can't get more fired up than coming out to that song. You get the Vision Quest flashbacks, and it sounds good.
Especially for UFC, it's a wrestling movie, for God's sake.
Then you have the fans in the audience wondering what a lunatic fringe is.
Yeah.
We never figured that out.
No, I'm not sure. I'm still
good
not.
Name. Good name for a production company, though.
Lunatic Fringe Production.
Yeah, that's good. A good one. So, this UFC 100, which cost me $45.
Yeah.
And I got to see some guys punched in the face over and over again. That was fun. The winner, the guy who retained his heavyweight title, was this guy Brock Lesnar, former wrestler. Who really,
from Nebraska or something, right?
Yeah, he... When I say beat the hell out of this guy, I mean, you can't emphasize this strongly enough. This guy looked like he'd been in a car accident afterwards, the guy who's fighting against Frank Mir.
Now, I've never seen the UFC, but I've followed a little bit on the internet, and I can't really say I'm like a fan of it by any stretch. I've never watched one. I tend to lean on the agree with, I think, John McCain, who called it human cockfighting.
Yes.
But it's just not my cup of tea. But didn't the guy that he beat up, he was like talking a lot of smack about the winner, right?
He did, and that's kind of what I liked. It's almost like the evolution of pro wrestling. It's like real. It's real pro wrestling.
He talked a lot of smack and ended up like he looked in a car accident. I guess that didn't really work out for him, huh?
The guy, he got knocked out, and instead of like having sportsmanship, Lesnar was running around with his hands ringing, and then he started trash talking him after.
I read about something like, you know, UFC champions, unbelievable actions or something, but I didn't quite catch what they were. That's what it was, that he was taunting the guy while he was hurt.
The way he was talking, as they were like basically reviving this guy and making sure he was okay.
It was like a Chuck Bednarik over Frank Gifford type thing.
A little bit,
but much worse.
But much worse. And then he followed that up with he taunted him in the post game interview or post match interview. And then at one point was the fans were booing, so he like held two middle fingers up. He basically did he was a wrestling heel. He did the wrestling heel routine
nice.
Because he had a wrestling background. And it worked. Like the crowd was in like a frenzy. This guy has Tyson potential now, I think.
Well, that makes a lot of sense from a couple different reasons. One, from a marketing perspective, because now he's like the bad boy of UFC.
Yep.
So he's got that going for him. And two, isn't he kind of justified if the guy was mocking him in the whole week leading up to the fight and he's like he beat the hell out of him? He's justified in mocking him then, no? Like if Frazier beat Ali in the Thriller in Manila. After Ali, you know, called him all the things that he did.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Frazier have been justified in talking a little smack after that?
Couldn't agree more. And in fact, this has always bothered me about boxing. And this is why, you know, boxing is kind of rings false sometimes. It's these guys to hype the fight. They say all this stuff. But then as soon as the fight's over, it's like, hey, good fight.
Yeah, man. They shake
good,
hands.
Good job. Good not the
right.
personal. I didn't mean any of that.
Right.
And UFC, the guy was like, yeah, hey, how's that looking now? All that stuff you said. Hey, there's your eyeball.
Wouldn't Rocky Balboa, after he beat Clubber Lang, like he should have talked a little smack. Clubber Lang talked about having sex with his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. That was a movie, wasn't it? That wasn't real.
No, it's real as far as I'm concerned. I would have given him crap for killing Mickey,
exactly.
Trying to have sex with his wife.
He had a lot really to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
Even in Rocky IV, when Drago killed his best friend, Apollo Creed. But he was busy bringing Russia and the United States closer together. So
yeah, Johnny.
Nothing to worry about.
He had much bigger goals.
He was trying to stop a nuclear war.
It went beyond personal, Johnny. he was doing that for all of us.
That's right.
What do you think happened to Clubber Lang after Rocky III? I think I've answered this in a mailbag once because I think I've answered every conceivable mailbag question that could ever be answered. But I always thought Clubber had like some sort of Tyson fall that involved some sort of he said, she said, sexual assault case. And
yeah, definitely. It
probably
didn't end
jail.
Well for Clubber Lang, I think.
Probably
he would have
come
been
back.
Fighting Mitch Blood Green in the streets of Harlem at 3 in the morning or something, undoubtedly.
You know, I actually think that's a nice one. I think that would have happened.
He could have been in, there would have been some nightclub altercations and money would have been gone and he would have been, you know, money would have been taken by the promoter. It wouldn't have gone well for Clubber.
I think he definitely would have fought Andrew Galata. And possibly Razor Ruddock as well. And maybe even had like a cup of coffee title shot against Evander Holyfield where he just got killed because the drugs were just in his system at that point.
It wouldn't have been like a happy ending for Clubber where he, you know, kept his money and had a big house and just eased his way into retirement, managed some other fighters. Nothing good would have happened.
No. Well, that'd be interesting to see what happens to this first wave of UFC guys. Because they show these guys in the crowd and they all have the cauliflower ears and... You know, like the big eyebrows of like because they've been cut, and I don't know. I don't see a lot of
no.
a lot of lucid 60-year-old UFC guys, but we'll see.
Go back and get your law degree or your PhD. I think that's what I'll root for some of these guys.
Well, you have to have some sort of chromosome that you just get a rush out of fighting somebody like that. And mano a mano, you know, you might get the hell beat out of you or he might, and it's really no rules other than you can't gouge and a bunch of smaller stuff. But I don't know how you replace that rush.
I just got momentarily excited by the thought of Mr. T's agent listening to this podcast or getting a copy of it and forwarding it to Mr. T and saying, they're clamoring for the Clubber Lang movie. What happened to Clubber 20 years later? This could be your comeback, T. I'm excited for that.
I think the Rocky movie ended all chances.
Do we own the copyright? Do we have the rights to the Clubber Lang story by talking about it?
Well, I always thought they should have had a Clubber Lang Drago fight. That would have been an interesting movie. Like, Stallone could have just made a cameo, but they could have put him in the credits.
Yeah. He could have just been, like, ringside as a champion, enjoying the fight like you see on HBO.
Maybe yelled, no, at one point.
Yeah, I think we want to know what happened to Clubber Lang. I think the time has come to make that story.
And I think Mr. T also agrees.
I think he does, as do his creditors.
The time has definitely come for Mr. T. So, back to baseball for a second.
Yes.
Since we last talked,
yeah.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that the Yankees of New York caught a little bit of fire.
They did. You couldn't call me last week when they were on top of the world, having won like, you know, 13 out of 15 or something ridiculous. They were on fire. You call me after they get swept, as they always do, by the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, California.
Yeah, I thought I'd wait until something bad happened, then I'd give you a
ring. Good work by you, as always.
The Angels are just... they're the mongoose to your snake.
It's unbelievable. So for 10 years now, they've just freaking absolutely owned them. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to look at the All-Star break as a glass half full type situation. Like, you talk about the litany of things the Yankees have had, with A-Rod being, you know, out with surgery, and Teixeira starting off ice cold, and Wong, who they projected as their number two guy, potentially being 1-6 with an ERA over 20. And now on the DL for the second time, and missing Bruni for a while, and all their bullpen problems. And you could say that, you know, they're only three games out. They have the second best record in the American League still. So you got to like what they've done and piecing it together. And you have to figure a lot of those pieces will come together in the second half. But on the other side of the coin, I mean, they're freaking 2-12 against the Red Sox and the Angels. The playoffs are going to go through certainly Boston and probably Anaheim. I mean, I don't know if they're going to have to play both teams, but they're going to have to play one of them to get to the World Series. And when you're 2-12 against them, that's not a good harbinger at all.
And then we had the Rays kind of just lurking.
And the Rays lurking. I mean, yeah, I'm not lurking. Sure the playoffs are like a given either.
Do you think they're lingering or lurking?
I think they're lurking.
I feel like they're lurking now. They were lingering.
I think they're more than lingering. I think they're lurking.
Yeah, they're lurking, unfortunately. They probably have a trade to make too. I don't know if they could take out any money, but... I'm still going to be real interested to see what happens as we get closer to the trade deadline and some of these teams that need to dump whoever. And these teams claim they're not, oh, no, I'm not going to take on, you're going to have to pay for some of Matt Holliday's contract. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to, like, roll the dice at some point with somebody. I know the Red Sox sure need to, you know.
But they need a bat, right? They have to go get another bat.
Need a
especially
bat.
With Lowell's future being uncertain.
I was talking to my friend John Walsh about that, who I had lunch with the other day, and he was saying, well, Lowell's coming back. And I said, Lowell just had an injection in his hip to make it feel better. Hey, I mean, can we count on that guy? Who
now
gets an
Lowell,
injection
like
in their hip?
37, 38?
Yeah, he's younger than us. But, like, if I saw you and you were limping around, I'm like, hey, Johnny, what's wrong? Oh, my hip's really been bothering me. I just had an injection in my hip to ease the pain. I'd be like, what? What the hell's going on? Or you have to have a hip replacement surgery? Like,
right.
I'd be terrified. And meanwhile, this Mike Lowell thing, we're like, oh, yeah, he's coming back. But I don't know. I'm a little dubious.
Big Poppy has come back, though. Not to what he was, but he's certainly better than the shell of himself that he was to start the year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So that helps your offense.
He's probably been 80% what he used to be for about 6 weeks now.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 weeks, but I think he's been pretty good. He actually turned on somebody's fastball on Oakland. I can't remember who it was, but one of their young pitchers, but he was waiting on it and just crushed it into the right field that stands, and like did the little kind of watched it and strutted around. It was like he had his mojo back. I couldn't believe
it. Unfortunately, I've noticed that this year a little bit now. now or lately. So it's disappointing to me as a Red Sox hater.
Thank God for those eye drops, Johnny.
Yeah, that must have been it. Yeah, I guess so. Good work. Amazing what medical science can do.
You sound skeptical.
Well, call me cynical.
He can't just have gotten eye drops and have better eyesight?
I'm sure that was it. I'm sure that quickened up the pace of his bat. It's weird how those eye drops work. It's all that kept me out of the majors was I just didn't have the right combination of Visine.
All right, Johnny, we're taping this on a Monday afternoon. It's about 4 hours before the Home Run Derby. So
yes.
Here are the odds. Here are the odds for the Home Run Derby.
Okay.
Albert Pujols is 20 to win 23, I'm sorry. So he's basically an even favorite.
He's like Tiger Woods' numbers there.
Yeah. Coming in second, Mr. Ryan Howard at 7-2. Adrian Gonzalez of the Padres of San Diego, 9-2.
Okay.
Prince Fielder, 5-1. Carlos Pena is 27-4. That's weird. So he's almost 7-1. Joe Mauer is 10-1. Nelson Cruz is 19-2. So I guess his odds are actually better. And then Brandon Inch. I don't know how the hell he got it. I know he has 20 homers, but it's just weird to think that he's in the Home Run Derby. He's 45-4.
So now, do you have to be an all-star to be in the Home Run Derby?
I think you do.
So that's why. Well, Teixeira is an all-star, though, isn't he?
Maybe he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, Teixeira is. Why didn't he? I'm glad he didn't do it because it screws these guys' swings up sometimes.
He's all about the game, Johnny.
That's right. He's worried about the pinstripes.
He's in a Prince William lookalike contest.
Very good. He does look like Prince William.
Thank you. Betting Pujols at basically even odds would seem like the move because he's so locked in right now. You know.
Yeah, and the kid at hometown, the crowd's going to be behind him. Has a guy ever won it in his home park before?
Oh, now you scared me off on him. Everybody thinks he's going to win. He's hometown, maybe a little too much pressure. Then he's such a robot. Like, he would be worried about changing his swing a little and get, like, all psyched out.
I just read here that Ryan Howard is a native of nearby Wildwood, Missouri, who attended Missouri State University.
I don't like the big guys in these contests. I think they wear down as it goes on.
What about an Adrian Gonzalez, who has hit a lot of home runs in a not homer-friendly park out in San Diego?
Possible. I like Carlos Pena. Why don't I like him? 27-4?
He's a good home run hitter. He leads the American League, I believe, right?
Nice, easy swing. I'm going to pick him. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Ryan Howard. I'm going to throw your big guy theory right back in your face. I'm going to say he's going to do it in Missouri. He's going to do it for Mizzou.
Who do you have in the All-Star game?
Oh, you got to go with the American League because I want the Yanks to have home field in the World Series.
The American League only -112, so basically a tiny bit better than even.
Yeah, I like the American League. Halliday against Lincecum, the starters, I'll go Halliday.
Over-under for runs, 9.5.
I'm going to go over.
All-Star MVP?
Mm.
They don't have odds for that, unfortunately.
I'm going to go with Joe Mauer.
Really?
Yeah. He's having a good year.
I hope the home run contest doesn't screw up his hitting.
Yeah.
Sometimes that'll happen. These guys go, they change their swing, and then they get all messed up for a couple weeks.
What happened to Bobby Abreu? It happened to Ken Griffey Jr., too, I think.
Yeah.
Bobby Abreu had, like, some ridiculous amount of home runs at the All-Star break, and then he was in the Home Run Derby, which he may have won, and then he didn't hit, like, hit only 7 the rest of the year or something ridiculous.
I've mentioned this on Twitter, but never on the podcast. This Lincecum, he looks so much like Mitch Kramer from Dazed and Confused that I can't
handle
it.
He really does.
It's unbelievable.
The hair, everything.
I think I posted a tweet about how every time he finishes a game, I keep waiting to see the four guys holding the paddles waiting for him. But he looks like
want to come out of games.
He kind of looked like him before, but now he's actually grown his hair to look like him, which makes me, and I've never seen this asked of him, or like, was this intentional, or is this like just this mammoth coincidence?
Where's he from, Lincecum? He's from California?
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, so it's not like he's from Texas or anything and was like, you know, inspired by the movie.
It's very strange because Dazed and Confused has been on a lot. And that when you see that kid in the movie, the thing you used to think of was what the hell happened to that kid because he's never been seen again. But now it's you think Tim Lincecum the whole time.
Yes.
It's really like I couldn't get over it. I was watching the movie going, oh my God.
He really does. I didn't insane. Think of that, but he really does look like him. That's two good ones you've had today. You have Tim Lincecum looking like the kid from Dazed and Confused and Mark Teixeira looking like the heir to the British throne.
He is a dead ringer for Prince William.
Yeah, he really is. He does look a lot like him.
It's pretty eerie.
The face does, yeah, definitely.
My next question, are you going to watch the All-Star game?
No, probably not.
It really sucks.
I'll tune in. You know what I like? I like the introductions in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I always make fun of the fact that every team has to be represented, like we have to have a Washington National in the game.
Yes.
But you pointed out to me that as a kid you liked to watch when they would introduce, you know, Fred Lynn or Yastrzemski or whoever for the Red Sox.
Yeah, we had one year where we only had one All-Star, and I think if we hadn't had one, it would have ruined my whole summer.
And I kind of admit, I will watch the introductions, and I will applaud when they have, you know, Jeter and Moe and Teixeira, and the crowd will boo lustily because everybody hates the Yankees.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that part. I like the introductions. I'll watch the introductions if I remember it's on, and then I will not really watch much of the game.
I'm with you. I watch the introductions, which I love. I watch the first two innings. I like seeing the starting pitchers for each team. And then I'm out. And then if I remember to come back for the ninth.
Yeah, it's a bonus.
I remember, but if I don't, no biggie.
Right.
Then whatever, I missed it, and I'll find out who won tomorrow. But it's always been a backward game. I always wondered why, and I know they have to do this because it's prestigious to start and all that, but it seems like it would actually make more sense to have the best guys play the last four innings.
That's a good point, yeah.
Like go backwards and
start the scrub such as they are.
Yes.
Right.
It would almost be like a boxing card where the bad matches are first.
Yeah.
And then it works up to the main event. And in the main event, you have all the real guys in there.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point.
And then when you have the pinch hitters, you're pinch hitting better guys, and they're coming in.
And people would have to stick around and watch it then.
Joe Mead.
Yes.
What do you think of that idea?
I like it, but then you don't get like a legitimate lineup, you know, that everyone feels proud about.
But you're voting for the end of the game lineup, not the beginning lineup.
Yeah, it just, you know, the guys get kind of out of order that way.
Should I read, Jacko, a really mean email that somebody sent from Sacramento?
Yes.
All right.
Good.
Can we stop with podcasts of you and your friend Jacko, please? He has no particular sports knowledge. All he does is agree with you and kiss your ass. The worst was the NCAA picks. We had no opinion other than to go with your picks. You usually do pretty good interviews, and I'm sure you have the celebrity power to draw some interesting people. It seems like nothing but ego to call your friend who is not funny or interesting. Save it, please.
Wow, not funny or interesting. That's hurtful.
I think you're funny and interesting, Johnny.
Thank you. And I've got 7,000 followers on Twitter that agree that disagree with that clown from Sacramento.
That was his name is Raul. It's
and
Raul
about my
Sacramento.
NCAA picks that I agreed with you. By the way, who won your picks page on the ESPN website?
Well, that's my favorite part of the email is that he confused you with House because we didn't make NCAA picks on the podcast.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
I thought he was killing me for we must have touched on NCAA picks or something. But I actually won. Not only did I win the NCAA pool in my office, but I also won the quote-unquote celebrity version or whatever on your of your picks.
You finished in the top 100.
I did. I was great in the NCAA pool.
Yeah, I mean, in the top 100 of everybody on ESPN.com who
did
the NCAA pool. Yeah.
So don't talk to me, Raul. But you confuse me with Joe House. Joe House is both funny and interesting as well, so I disagree with Raul again.
I found Raul's comments to be hurtful.
I did. You shouldn't use the internet for bad purposes, Raul. It's meant to bring us together.
Raul, if you don't like it, just don't listen to it.
Simple answer. Change the channel. There's a lot of podcasts out there.
Don't press the play button. That's all I can tell you, buddy. I'm sorry. I'm going to continue to have Jack on, and I think he's both funny and interesting.
We don't come to your house and put a gun to your head and make you tune in, Raul.
You have 7,000 Twitter followers?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I don't really Twitter as much as I should. I'll pick that up.
Why not?
I don't know.
You watch the. Why couldn't you Twitter during Yankee games?
I could. I should. I was trying to move away from having it all my Twitters be about the Yankees to expand my horizons, and I'm just like, I couldn't think of anything clever to say. So.
But you have all these crazy political opinions.
I could put those in there too, right? I could.
Why don't you do that?
Crazy is a little strong, but...
Well, not crazy. Passionate, I should say. I meant crazy in the passionate sense.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I could do that. I'll throw some of that in there. So, yeah, I'll get more on the Twittering. It's fun.
Don't you have, I would, for instance, like to hear from you very much during the Ted Kennedy in his own words HBO special.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be tuning into that one.
Oh, come on, Johnny.
If I were, I would certainly have some commentary.
It's in his own words.
I know. That's exactly.
You know what? When I saw the commercial for it, I got really excited because I actually thought it was just going to be a documentary about Teddy Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Covering everything that needs to be covered, including the fact that he drove a car and, you know, into the water and swam away and didn't tell anyone for 7 hours.
Right.
But no, it sounds like it's going to be in his own words.
Yeah, so that might not be covered as thoroughly as it might have been by someone else.
Maybe not. Maybe not delving into that part
or,
of it.
Then it was 1968, and then it was 1970.
And then, due to a variety of reasons, I decided not to run in 1972.
Exactly.
Let's go to 76.
Right.
I almost ran then, and again, decided not to.
Now
in 1980.
He did run in 70. Oh, that's right. He ran in 80.
He stepped out.
That's right. He ran in 80 against Carter. That's right. I was confusing my primary years. That's right.
Well, in 76, I think he thought about it. But then it was still a little too close to the whole Chappaquiddick thing.
Yeah, he probably could have won that year.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Last Kennedy. Kind of sad.
Yep.
No Michael Jackson.
No, it's crazy. No more.
Ted Kennedy on his way out. Anytime you do the In Your Own Words special, it's like a matter of time at that point. When there's a Bill Simmons in his own words on ESPN2 in about 20 years.
Oh, no. Let's hope it's much, much later than 20 years. Come on.
25.
50.
You know what? I'm going to make a rule. I'm not going to do it in his own words.
Really? Because that's the kiss of death. Literally.
It kind of is. It really is. It's not something you want to do if you want to lead a...
You don't do that as a young, vibrant individual, put it that way.
No.
Anything
else we could cover?
No, I don't think so. You know what I was... you always ask me about TV shows. I never mentioned this, but I'd been watching this miniseries on CBS called Harper's Island.
Yes.
I think I was the only person in America that watched that. I tried to engage my friends in conversations about it.
Wasn't it like a murder mystery?
Yeah, it was like a mystery. It was like a miniseries thing. Harry Hamlin made a brief cameo in it.
What?
He was really the only name. Yeah. He was like the biggest star, and he was killed off in, I think, like the first or second episode.
Oh.
And it was really an entertaining... I just wanted to give it a shout-out and say it was really an entertaining show. It kept my interest for the past 13 weeks. The big murderer was revealed on Saturday. It was a shockeroo.
I have, for some reason, been clicking over to the Lifetime Movie Network.
Really?
It's a late night, like...
Jesus, maybe it is time to do Bill Simmons in his own words when you're doing that.
Now, here's my reasoning. Because, for some reason, I can't fall asleep now until the TV's on.
Okay, yeah,
I
don't like that.
And I can't watch anything that's going to keep me awake.
Right.
So for some reason, whatever, I can't explain it, but the Lifetime Movie Network... If those movies are on, they're not challenging. My brain's not – I'm not using brain cells, and then I fall asleep. So they had one on Thursday or Friday night about – it was like made in like 1992 or 1993 before they changed all the stalking rules.
Right.
And it was about this softball umpire who started stalking this 15-year-old girl in a softball game and was able to do all these crazy things because they didn't have softball. I mean, they didn't
stalking
have stalking rules yet. Like, he could send her flowers and gifts, and then he was sending stuff like, you know, I'm not going to rest until I have you. I just bought a gun. He was, like, parking in front of their house and following her, and the police couldn't do anything because they didn't have any of the rules in place. It was riveting.
It sounds like a good one.
Any
celebrities in that one, or...?
The only celeb was in the supporting cast was the guy who was the president of 24 when you were President Logan.
Oh, really?
It was nobody that I really totally recognized.
That sounds like a good one.
It was great. You catch those Lifetime movies like pre-95 when they have that like Beverly Hills 90210-y kind of poorly done, badly acted.
Right.
Little uncomfortable scenes, but I was watching it the whole time just getting mad at the dad. Because
sure.
The dad wasn't going after the stalker and just beating the hell out of him. He's like, we have laws. I can't. What do you want me to do? Punch him? And I'm like, yeah, you're going to punch him because this guy's stalking your daughter, you moron.
I was going to say that, you know, I was going to skip ahead to the ending of every Lifetime movie for you and just say it was all the man's fault.
Yeah, that's actually how this
that's
one worked out.
That's basically the premise, right?
Well, in this one, it was actually a real life case and it led to all the stalking laws that came out of Florida. But... another one that was on that I had to turn off because I was getting too into it was this one with Jason Priestley. It was like a Bachelor ripoff.
Yeah.
He had to pick a wife. And,
okay.
And his TV producer, he was like a famous actor who was using this show to like revive his career. And he was trying to find a wife. And the producer of the show was also falling in love with one of the contestants who was like the leading candidate.
Mm.
And the reason I was watching was because the producer of the show was played by... That's right, Mr. Bradley Cooper.
Really? Exactly.
Who's now a gigantic star.
Right.
And who probably wants all copies of this movie destroyed.
Right.
And he had like a bad haircut and he's not good in it. And I just couldn't get over it. It made me think like how random Hollywood is. Like this guy is now like probably turning down $50 million offers. And it's 5 years ago, they were like, hey, I got a Priestley film for you. Yeah, I'm in. Lifetime.
It's like George Clooney wants to burn all the Facts of Life shows from the 80s or 90s, whenever he was on it.
It's so random. You know what? The reason his career hadn't taken off because he had like a short Clooney-type hair. Now
right.
He's got that big mane. He's got that nice-looking yeah. head of hair.
I saw that movie, by the way, last week. The wife and I went
Hangover. What'd you think?
I liked it. There was definitely some laugh-out-loud moments, but the problem with all these movies is people build them up too much.
I know.
I mean, I had friends that told me, like, I had tears in my eyes from laughing, so I'm like, you know, and then you read the reviews, like, best movies and the new Animal House and stuff, which is sacrilege to compare anything to that, but I went to it, and my expectations were so high that although it was funny, I wasn't, like, splitting my pants with laughter, you know? I mean, it was funny, but it wasn't, like, it was built up too much. It could only go down in my eyes having seen it. But I enjoyed it. It's a thumbs up.
Two scenes made me laugh more, like really, really hard and made it worth it for me. And I won't spoil them if you haven't seen it, but I know you've seen it. But
right.
The people out there. The baby scene killed me.
Yeah.
I was slumped over. I was a heap for like 5 minutes.
And
the homage to a certain Tom Cruise, Dustin Hoffman movie.
Yeah, that was well
that
done.
That murdered me. I just love that.
That was really well done. That was funny.
I thought... Galifianakis is one of those guys. He's got a lot of at-bats.
Yeah.
It was nice to see him finally, like, you know.
He was really good.
Go four for four with a home run.
He basically stole the movie.
He really did.
He was the best thing about it. He was really, really good.
I'm on your Twitter account, like, right now, looking at the people that respond to it.
Yeah.
You had a couple questions.
Maybe I'm not doing it right. I've never gotten a question on there that I know of.
People... Draven Kid asks, as a sports fan, are you excited about Pujols? And then adds, I used to play as the Mighty Wheel in NHL 94. Awesome.
Oh, that's good.
Are you excited about Pujols? I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure. Sure. Good. Good for him to play in the All-Star game. Has he been traded to the Yankees? Yes, I'm excited about that.
Will Steinbrenner ever put Jabba back in a setup role? He's making Chin Ming Wong look good.
No, that's true. That's a good point. I wish that he would, but they foolishly will not. They've ruined Jabba forever, and he's never going to be anything spectacular.
So he's done. You've given up on him.
Yeah, I think he's a mediocre starter, and he's a nibbler. And what concerns me is that he's had two horrific outings in a row, and he claims that it's the best stuff he's had all year. Can you give me some better quote than that, Jabba? Like, geez, not happy with the results, got to work on things. Not, geez, that's the best stuff I've had all year, and I threw 120 pitches in the third inning.
I see him in celebrity rehab with Dr. Drew in 8 years.
let's hope not. But
they introduced him as former Yankee pitcher Jabba Chamberlain.
He was so lights out in the eighth inning role, and so they were like, oh, you know, let's take him out of this wonderful role that he can do and put him in a different role, and he has not been good at it. But now that Phil Hughes has emerged as a kind of a lights out eighth inning guy, I wonder if it's just that these guys that are talented, you can just do it in short bursts for an inning and just throw lights out, but you can't do it over the long haul of a starter. That takes a really special talent. I mean, I don't think I'm breaking any new ground here, but was Jabba all that special, or was it just that Phil Hughes is now doing the same thing?
He seems like a one inning guy to me.
Jabba, you mean?
Jabba.
Yeah.
Both of them. Possibly both. I mean,
yeah.
He's just so young, you don't know. He's only like 22.
And that's the thing. Well, there, he's only 23. And if you look at, you know, Girardi did this thing. Look at Greg Maddux's numbers when he was 23. But, you know, he was a lot worse. But I don't know. I mean, we've seen some flashes from Jabba in a game here and a game there. But I don't know. He's been really shaky this year as a starter. Really shaky. Throwing 100 pitches in five innings is not what they're looking for, when you're on, especially when he's on an innings limit.
UTSW Dookie80 writes... You realize you tweet about as often as Simmons writes. That's not a good thing. He insulted both of us, Johnny.
He cut a twofer, two birds with one stone on that one. Ouch.
3 days ago, somebody emailed and asked, can we get a podcast with Jacko today? First Place Yankees has a nice ring to it. Sorry, you can't. You're getting one now after they got swept. All right, so people out there, if you want to
Twitter, Jacko2323.
Yeah, if you want to ask Jacko a question, just post a little 120 character or whatever, and we'll go through, and maybe we'll pull out a couple, and we'll read them on the air.
Sounds good.
Actually, we're not on the air. What are we on? Joe Mead, what are we on? This doesn't count as air. What is this?
It doesn't count as air?
I don't know. It's not really air. It's like recorded air. It's like
on the computer? I don't know.
Regurgitated air.
We'll come up with something.
Bandwidth? And we'll read it on the bandwidth.
There you go.
Jacko, before we go, we want to play a couple Subway Fresh Take themes, because you're on the Subway Fresh Take hotline, and our favorite band, Theocracy, recorded a couple special Jacko songs.
With the Subway fantastic. Theme.
Yeah, let's hear those.
Bill, Jacko, partners in crime, the Subway Fresh Take hotline.
Wow.
That was strong.
Was a goat slaughtered prior to or after the recording of that? No, I can't kill Theocracy though. They wrote a song about me. That one, I don't know. That one's a little hardcore.
It's a little hardcore. Let's hear the other one.
So that's the main one. And everything else is kind of a takeoff on that. They switched some things up. This one,
Joe, maybe we should take out the part where Jacko immediately killed it.
Yeah. Nice work there.
Yeah.
I kind of like that one.
That one's good. Good guitar riff there.
It's just me screaming, "Oh, Johnny," with a guitar riff.
It's pretty good.
Bill,
Jacko, partners in crime, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline.
All right, I think that's the winner.
That one's a little Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
I like that one.
It's good. Not that
I think
like
that's
Queen,
the winner.
But that was pretty dramatic, the Bohemian Rhapsody feel there. That's good. I like that one.
That's pretty good. And maybe we could edit that down and just have a Subway Fresh Take hotline where those are the only words, Joe Mead.
All right, we'll do it.
That would be good. All right, let's play that last one more time as we say goodbye to our friend Jacko.
Bill, Jacko, partners in crime.
That's us.
Subway Fresh Take Hotline.
That's what you're on. Yeah, I feel it's
right.
Got a little Wayne's World-y. I feel like we're in the car, like on our way to whatever that diner was called.
Wayne Fest or whatever, yeah. Wayne Stock, yeah.
Last thing, any ESPYs predictions?
Oh, you know what? That really should be devoted to a podcast of its own. I couldn't do it justice just in this 1 minute remaining. So
actually, I'm going to ask you, can you watch the ESPYs so next time we talk we can...
Absolutely. We'll break down the ESPYs. That's on tomorrow, Wednesday night?
It's on Sunday, but
taping.
It's taping on Wednesday night. I will be in attendance. We can potentially compare notes.
All right. Yeah, I'll certainly watch, and we'll talk about it next week.
There's going to be some athletes there, Johnny.
That's good. All right. I'll pay attention.
You know who's going to be there? Mr. Michael Phelps.
Really? That's good.
Fresh off.
Hide the women.
Is Entourage cameo last year, and now the ESPYs?
It's big time. Can't keep this kid down.
Did you see Entourage last night?
No, I don't really watch Entourage. I've seen it once or twice.
Wow.
Sorry.
Seen it once or twice? Just didn't catch on, huh?
No, not quite.
How about Hung?
No. Not interested in that one.
The Unit?
You gave it a bad review on Twitter. That kept me away.
It deserved one.
Yeah.
It left me limp.
I know. It's a good line.
Well, second episode wasn't much better. I don't know why I watch shows that I don't like, but I do.
Well, you're a glutton for punishment.
No, there's nothing on.
Right, yeah.
There's really nothing on. It's like, what the hell? Anyway, all right, Johnny, we'll talk to you next week. We'll compare ESPY's notes, and hopefully the American League will win the All-Star game, and we can have our home field advantage.
Let's hope so.
All right.
All right, later, buddy.
Bye-bye.
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 Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just breaking news, which frankly cannot go unstated. This summer, Subway is teaming up with Live Nation to bring you great food and great music for a great value. Right now, buy a Subway $5 footlong and get a Live Nation concert ticket for just $5 to some of the hottest Live Nation shows like Nickelback, The Fray, and Crew Fest 2. Ticket price does not include fees. See the nearest Subway for details.